Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to Audible for supporting The Instance. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500.
This is Al Gore, and you're listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is episode 527. We are here to talk about World of Warcraft on June 22nd, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me, the now very regular, and I mean in multiple ways, Garrett Weinzierl. Hello.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. You're pooping on time. That's what I mean. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Be proud of it. Embrace
it. I got to thank the lady from Halloween branded yogurt for that.
Whoa, really? Is that a thing?
Didn't Jamie Lee Curtis do a bunch of old people yogurt commercials?
Old lady from Halloween. I got it. I thought that was the brand. The old lady from Halloween brand yogurt. You know what? It's still weird to hear somebody refer to as Jamie Lee Curtis as the old lady.
It's funny. I don't usually think of her that way, except when I think of that commercial, because it's clearly aimed towards the elderly.
Oh yeah, they're definitely going for a certain demographic. And it's been a long time since she was portrayed as a teenager in the classic John Carpenter film Halloween. However, it's also fun that you bring her up because she's a huge World of Warcraft fan and will often show up at BlizzCon incognito as some sort of cosplayed out dwarf or elf or something.
I believe she was a troll last time.
Yeah, I think that is correct. Who knows if she'll do it again? I think a lot of it was for her kids or for her son, I think. But she seemed to enjoy it. I think she played herself. I mean, look, we can't all be Jamie Lee Curtis. Or can we? Anyway, hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's good to be back. We're diving right in today. Plenty to talk about. We are hurtling toward the release of Battle for Azeroth. And as a result, there's lots to say. So let's say it. All right, everybody. They want everybody back in. If you have let your account lapse for some reason, if you are no longer on the teat, as one might say.
Nobody's saying that, Scott. Only you are saying that.
I'm afraid this entire episode is going to be me saying things I regret, but we'll see how it goes. I'm in one of the...
This is a pre-show, folks, in case you're wondering why this is coming up.
I woke up this way. This is how I feel today. It's just going to be how it is. But anyway, they are doing a couple of things. Number one, a free weekend this weekend. So if you have an old account or you'd like to get in for the first time, which sounds crazy this many years into World of Warcraft, you can do that. Free weekend, all weekend. Taking a card out of the old Overwatch bin and giving it a shot there. I don't remember the last time they had a free weekend for World of Warcraft, or maybe ever. It seems like maybe that's a rare thing.
I'd like to borrow from my friend Kyle and bring the scandal, Scott, because I've got a question for you. And that question is why?
Yeah.
Why, Scott?
Why?
Why would they put out the first World of Warcraft Battleground in the history of Heroes of the Storm? And in that same weekend.
Yeah.
You want a free World of Warcraft?
I don't know. It does feel a little bit like left hand's not talking to the right, you know, a little bit. I mean, in terms of, you know, messaging or maybe they just know that Blizzard fans are going to go do what they want to do, you know, like the ones that are excited about that new map and that event in Heroes are just going to go do it. And everybody else who wants to do a free weekend WoW is either already subscribed or they're going to do that anyway and they weren't going to play their MOBA. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I feel like there's a lot of that happening, and the more Blizzard puts out new games, the more this is a problem. I noticed yesterday, not really a problem, but it's a thing. I noticed yesterday looking at my Battle.net that I like to get kind of a quick cursory glance at who's playing what, right? Like, where is everybody right now? Where's the headspace? And when there's a new expansion for a Hearthstone, often all my friends end up in there for a couple of days. And it gets pretty thick in there. And Warcraft, when things are hot, that's they're all in there or whatever. But usually I can count on average weeks. I'll get in and my numbers are like World of Warcraft and Heroes of the Storm are the two that kind of have the most people in them. And yesterday I got in, one of my friends in World of Warcraft, three in Heroes, and like 25 people are all doing Season 14 in Diablo 3. So Diablo 3, still a thing, it turns out.
We have very different friends lists because I can't tell you the last time I saw a Diablo 3 icon on it.
Now, it's StarCraft where I never see anyone. That's the silver moon of the launcher for me.
Yeah, I still have a couple old StarCast buddies mm-hmm. that are just ride or die, Wings of Liberty, StarCraft 2 fans.
Yeah, and so they, I mean, you'll see them and they're like, they'll be in there playing or they work in the ladder. Like, what do they do in that game these days? Like, what are you doing, StarCraft? What's happening?
I would assume if you're still playing StarCraft, you're probably owning some fools on the ladder.
Yeah, right?
Like, me, when I get back in, I'm playing co-op because I am just bad at that game.
Yeah. It's so funny because you were such a, I mean, first time I ever talked to you was for StarCast. And yeah. You were super into it due to that show. And you were really into StarCraft. There was no question about that. But you've never felt like you were very good at StarCraft. I just think that's fascinating.
I don't even think I got out of gold. I think high gold was the best I ever did in the ladder on StarCraft.
Yeah, you tried to get diamond, but then you got high. Is that what you're saying? Got it.
Yeah, that guy plays in our city all the time, and I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, Afro Man. Why? Plays in Sarasota.
Why Sarasota? Is he from there or something?
No.
Oh. Just got the right fan base there, I guess.
No one ever comes to Sarasota. So when Afro Man shows up, you take note.
Well, he has other. Does he have other songs, or is that the one? That's the only one I know of. I don't know any other songs.
I'm told from friends that went that the answer is yes.
Okay.
But as I have never seen Afro Man myself, I can't tell you if he has other songs.
It'd be one of those concerts where he opens with that Get High song and then closes with it.
That's always the worst.
Yeah, that is the worst. You know you're dealing with a band with a very popular one song when that happens. But anyway, mm-hmm. the idea is a little bit weird for Warcraft anyway. The free weekend thing is a kind of a new concept. Now, if somebody can show me some old examples of this that I just don't remember, which is entirely possible, that'd be great passing my way. But I think this might be a first. So this is an interesting tactic for them. Get people riled up, get them excited for a thing. Come check out the game if you haven't been there for a while, that sort of stuff. Also, they made specific mention that accounts will be activated in all regions. So that's everywhere. The EU here. Oceanic. I was going to say, what's the one in the ocean?
I believe ocean's in the name, Scott.
Right. They have 11 servers in the ocean. Therefore, it's called. Are you ready for this dad joke? Are you ready for it? Ocean's 11.
Moving on.
I'll do a
in-universe callback and say, what's that guitar game called Something Hero?
Oh, that's a great one. She's the best. I feel like playing her right now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think this is cool. The only reason I'm comparing it to Heroes is that it's in-universe. This is like the same universe competing for itself, whereas like when there's an Overwatch event, that's not really competing with any other game. In Blizzard, when there's a Diablo event, it's not really competing with any other game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but, this is tricky. It's not like they're doing a StarCraft event or doing a Diablo event. It's their first true Warcraft tie-in event. It's their first battleground based on a Warcraft property. Like, there's this big Horde versus Alliance rivalry aspect of the entire event, and it has real repercussions in terms of the gear you get and other things. Like, you'd feel, I agree with you. Like, it's a weird, I feel like everybody should be rallying around that thing and pushing that thing like crazy. But I don't know, maybe they're doing just fine. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and there's like a weird uptick in Heroes attention lately. Like, you know,
speaking of friends list, like, that's all I'm seeing right now. Like, there's so many people playing Heroes.
Yeah, like, it's doing all right, and it pleases me to see that.
Yeah.
However, there you go, Warcraft. Being weird.
The big thing here, by the way, if you're like me and you're paying so this doesn't affect you, there's a discount on character services. So if you've been not wanting to level a Nightborn and instead want to just change a max level tune, now is the time.
Yeah, no, you 25% off all that stuff. So if you want to switch factions, I'm sick of the Alliance people are saying, ah, they're the worst. They just are blue and lame. Then come on over to the red side, we'd say. We have a way cooler phrase, and yours is just ripping ours off. So come on over for 25% less dollars. And that's across all of their character services. This isn't like products or digital buys like mounts or any of that, or pets. We're talking just those services. So this is their way of saying, not only welcome back, but hey, also, what if you were on a server with your buddies again? Because they all moved to whatever, and so maybe you all could get together again if you want. Or hey, what about your five friends that all went Horde, and you're still, you know, some lame dwarf? You want to come over here, and then you can do it for less money. I'm really throwing the Alliance under the bus here.
The views of Scott Johnson do not necessarily reflect the views of Garrett.
No. They
I
don't.
Think dwarves are cool.
Or definitely Patrick if he was here.
Dwarves are cool, man.
No, they're all right. Look, of all the Alliance character, or of all Alliance classes, they've always been my favorite, I think. I'm trying to think here. Hold on. Dwarves. Night Elves are kind of cool. They're a little derpy, but whatever. So there's that. And then you got, I think Draenei are cool. Sort of.
Well, I'll fight you on that. Male Draenei have the lamest running animation in the game.
Okay, I'll give you that.
They prance.
Yeah,
they prance, and I can't stand it.
No, you're right. They totally do.
Because I love the character design of Draenei, but I just don't like their run loop. It bothers me.
It's so funny. You're like me with this stuff. I don't like. I think Blood Elves are cool until they talk at all. I can't stand their voices.
I love them. I love their voice so much. Oh. That's like my. I love playing those types of characters in role play. Like I love being the snooty, like high class jerk.
Yeah, and but their whole like the laugh they do, the male laugh. It really does make me want to like pull body parts off and cook them.
Oh, you don't like the ha ha ha.
No, woo! No. I hate it. They're cocky bastards. Okay. It's like, give me mana. Ha ha ha. Ho ho ho. I'm in red. That's what's different about me. Anyway, so there's the deal. You can go do all that stuff this weekend and I guess make the most of your return to the World of Warcraft. Also, ooh, now here's some fun. Blizzard has given us their basic plan and preparation. For the classic servers, I would recommend not reading the comments because that still, it's like a turd on a stick, that topic, and people like to dive in there and troll. So
you're telling me that not everyone is happy with Blizzard's plans for Classic WoW?
I don't want to freak you out, but yes, some people are not happy about the plans or... Whatever. Are they ever going to be happy? The answer is no. Just don't read the comments, everybody. It's really ugly in there. I don't know if you've been to a recent Q&A stream from Blizzard, but all it is in there is vanilla server yelling, and it's a complete waste of everyone's time. But anyway.
Chat off, never scroll all the way down on posts.
There you go.
That's how I live my life.
Yep. Never scroll is my favorite video game that I'm not playing. Never scroll. Like, check this out. So this is a quote from them. The first and among the most important decisions we had to make was which version of the game to focus on. As many of you have noted, the classic period was two years long and full of changes. Core features like battlegrounds were introduced in patches after WoW's original launch. This is true. And class design similarly changed over time. After careful consideration, we have decided on patch 1.12, Drums of War, as our foundation because it represents the most complete version of the classic experience. It seems like a good place to start. They say our initial runs exposed a few expected, in parentheses, issues. The game sometimes crashed, didn't recognize our modern video cards, was incompatible with our current login system. The first pass also couldn't support any of our modern security and anti-cheating capabilities. Clearly, we had a lot of work to do to make Classic WoW live up to the Blizzard standard of quality and deliver to the experience players want. That's the main takeaways from the statement part of things. They then get into some real, like, data porn. Which I enjoy a lot. I enjoy data porn. I think numbers.
That's what's on Scott's web history. You open up his Chrome browser and go to the control age. That's what you'll see.
Oh, yeah, baby. Cells and freaking where you insert that into my database, you know, that kind of stuff.
And we've gone too far.
So here we go. They show, so they basically show how Data was originally set up. And this is fascinating to me. So this is, I'll just read some of this. One challenge we faced is that all the classic data in the original format used at launch, they have that data, okay? They have all that stuff so they could, you know, use it in theory. But they say that format changed substantially in the intervening years, which makes sense. Major work needs to be done in this area to make the modern client compatible with the classic data. For example, spells could originally only perform three actions on the spell's target. In table form, it looked like this, and then they give us an example of it. Here, Chad, I'll show you a screenshot.
The big thing with this, with the old school table, is that it had basically three columns for the three effects, mm-hmm. But so many spells only had one effect, so there's just all this wasted data on a nothing entry.
Yeah, like if you, Fireball, for example, effect one, deals damage. Effect two, apply aura. Effect three, nothing. Aura, nothing. They have these nothings all over the place. So huge amounts of just dead space in your database. If you're any kind of back-end engineer, and I am certainly not, but I know enough about it to know that one thing you want to try to avoid is empty data, because you end up searching through things that's wasted searching power, CPU power, server power, time, blah, blah, blah. And it adds up, especially in a game like this, where a lot of people are applying a fireball to lots of targets at once in a big, huge environment. What is more interesting to me, though, is they limited it to only those three actions on the target. I would never have thought that. That limit seems crazy to me, but I guess it makes sense. And I'm trying to think of an example in Warcraft where I ever did anything where it felt like I was doing four or five things to a creature or character.
But play a warlock?
I guess so.
Just stack those dots, man.
I mean, but that ends up being just multiplication of a single effect, right? Like,
I was just playing before the show and I had four unique dots rolling on a target.
So. Well, you do now, see, because the game supports that now. So like that, and that's one of their main points of this post, is they go on to say, okay, well, this is what the new data looks like. They have a lot of sort of separated stuff, Fireball and Frostbolt. Then they have the spell effect and damage and no limits on that. So you could, in theory, have 100 effects from something you're doing to a creature in a current modern version of the code.
Yeah, there's all these individual tables now, as opposed to like one big one kind of across the board. So now there's a name table, there's an effect table, there's an aura table.
Right, and they all connect, and you know, this is modern database work at play, everybody. But the problem is you've got a game from 2004 and 5, which is the era we're talking about, that had a very big differences. Huge sweeping changes have happened to the game since then. I like this post for that one major reason. Like, I'm excited to hear how they're going. It's interesting to see what they're choosing to do, what problems they're running into, and all that. But what I like about it is it gives some perspective to those who think this is simple. People who are like, well, just set up a server and run it. You guys did it. You have it. Like, that kind of thinking, that reductive, like, Blizzard has all they need to do to make these classic servers work, and they're ready to go right now and pull the trigger. They just won't because they hate us or something. I hate that. I hate that kind of thinking. So this post is great at that. It's like, look, here are the challenges. Here are the problems. And it's everything from my video, it doesn't work with modern video cards, down to whatever. And these are all workable things. They can get to a place where they can do it, but they have to do the work. And it's not just turn it on. So I recommend reading this for that reason. And also for the reason of just see what their direction is. What are their plans?
Yeah, I can understand... especially if you played on a private server before, the kind of frustration of just being like, it doesn't need to be perfect. Just flip the switch. I've already played an imperfect version. But at the same time, I would say, clearly you played a Blizzard game. You know how Blizzard works. They're not going to do that.
That's right.
Just unrealistic. That's not how they release anything.
Right. And so expecting them to do otherwise is weird. And then you immediately get into the comments and people are like, make Azeroth great again. Let's see. What does it say here? This one guy's super cynical about this. He says, here's the six phases he believes will happen to people. You'll download any one of the multiple private vanilla servers. Play about 10 levels into it. Realize vanilla is a lot harder / more difficult than you think. And remember, also extremely linear. Potentially hit level 60, only to find out it's next to impossible to get into a decent raiding guild. Number five, realize you probably will never complete compete original MC, BWL, NAX, or AQ40. Level six, go back to BFA. I think he's right. I think even after this thing, I mean, he's talking about...
I love how you sell him as super cynical, and then you're like, I agree with the super cynical man.
Super cynical, and he is very cynical about it. And until we see it, we don't know for sure, but I have the same gut feeling that and I'm, actually, I'm a little bit worried about it because Blizzard doesn't want to make something people won't play. They're not interested in that. If they're going to do the work, it's not just to appease a bunch of trolls. It's, okay, well, if we're committing, we're going to make a thing, and we want it to be good. Well, no matter what it is or what it represents, they want it to be good. So if what ends up happening is it's good in terms of its representation of what a classic server was, but people just don't play it because they get in and realize, oh, my nostalgia is greater than my memory, then why are they doing it? I don't know. I think this is going to be complicated is all I'm saying. And what may end up happening is they may end up making something better than it was before because they can't help it because they're Blizzard and they want to polish stuff till it shines. And that will still upset people because they're like, well, that's not the classic experience. I want shitty polygons, 4:3 aspect ratio, and terrible lag, like or whatever it is that they think they want out of a classic server.
I'm not sure anyone wants terrible lag.
Probably
I agree
not.
With everything else you brought up. I bet there's someone who wants all the things you mentioned except terrible lag.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I mean that is the challenge. Anytime classic WoW gets brought up, that is the biggest challenge. Is that what I want from Classic and what you want from Classic are not the same. I'm sure there are certain things. I'm sure we can make a Venn diagram where there is a center point that includes things we agree on, but there are going to be things in their own separate circles that I want and that you want.
Yeah. Plus, they have no choice but to do this the Blizzard way. So get used to it, everybody. That's what's going to happen. But I highly recommend reading this because this just, honestly, it gave, I already kind of had this perspective, but I have a greater one now. Because I can, I like it that they're transparent about it. It's like, all right, well, here are our challenges. Like, it's going to be hard, and here's what we have to do. And not only are we just telling you that, we're not just giving you a lip service. Here's an example of why this is tricky. Here are three or four other examples of what we've run into already in testing. Like, that's what we need for this classic server thing to work, is that kind of openness and conversation. There'll always be trolls. There's nothing you do about that. But I think this goes a long way to smooth that over and give people the right expectations and, you know, build to the right end game, whatever that's going to be for this thing.
Yeah. And I'm not too sure what it is.
I don't either.
But I mean, the big news here is that they've decided on a patch. But even then, I'm not even, because they didn't go into deep detail. Like, my question is, like, I would assume if they're using 1.12, everything that was ever in vanilla is going to be here from the get-go. Like, day one, you go roll level one, whatever.
Right.
Nax Framus is just sitting above Stratholme waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that? Is that the case? Or are they going to do something different? Are they going to roll the stuff out artificially? Are they going to gate it just because? Right. I mean, if they're turning servers on, you can't go in with a level 60 character to begin with. Why not? Why not kind of recapture the progression of all of the additions to the game?
It could be fun to say, to get a boost with this, like if you sign up for this additional thing. I mean that depends. We don't know what pricing model or any of that stuff is yet. It may just be part of subscriptions, which I think is the right thing to do, but if they end up charging extra or something, maybe give everybody a boost if they want to use it so they can do some end game immediately, maybe, because that's maybe all they care about here. I don't know what a lot of players really want here. Like, do they really want levels 1 through 20 to be arduous and painful? Maybe. I don't know. I remember that being a huge pain in the ass. I hated 1 through 20.
I think I personally, because of the nostalgia factor, and because when I first started playing this game, I was leveling with the person who I ended up marrying. I think we would really enjoy going back and rolling level 1 night elves in old busted Darnassus.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, it's something different to everyone.
Yeah, you'll enjoy some of those three or four polygon trees they got there.
Well, those trees are still there.
That's true. They haven't cleaned that up.
You can just see more of them in the distance because draw distance is so much longer.
Yeah, we got lucky for all my starting areas, which were mostly Durotar and stuff. I'm lucky in that regard because that stuff is all, we got all updated during Cataclysm. So there's a somewhat modernization happening in that area. But the trolls got a whole new starting area of their own. Originally they would start where the orcs started. Oh, that's so weird to think I'd start a troll on Classic that would start in the Orc area now. That's just freaking weird. Yeah, there's just a there's a lot of stuff, man. I don't know.
Do you think there's a way to do seasons?
Oh, geez.
Like what if they roll out WoW Classic and we all work our way back up the NAX, and then they open a second server and they're like, all right, this server every 6 months it's gonna roll back. You're gonna be max level. You're gonna lose all your gear and you're gonna have to progress all the way back to NAX again.
Interesting, like a Diablo season, and then give you reasons like
six months is probably honestly too short. But
yeah, if you do that, you'll get some cool gear at the end of it or whatever. Like maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but there's different ideas here. This also made me go. I'm feeling super nostalgic today because this news made me go on a, like this rabbit hole deep dive of researching the history of the rollout of vanilla patches, because I started playing in October of 05, so I missed a good amount of the early patches.
Yeah,
I did not know that things like Moradon and Dire Maul were not in vanilla when it launched.
Oh yeah, no. They weren't there.
Moradon was like the first major content patch. They added a level 30 five-man dungeon as a part of it. That seems bananas to me.
Yeah, it is bananas. It was, well, at the time it wasn't. It seemed like the right thing to do. But, you know, 40-man raids were a thing. That was a huge thing at launch. You could do.
Yeah, I mean, I was there for that. Like, I remember, I mean, I was not high enough level to do it at the time. But...
Right.
Like, I remember that, but like things like Moradon and Dire Maul, I don't think I ever knew, because I didn't start listening to this show even until like AQ40.
Yeah, that was around the time. That was around the time things felt like they were done with vanilla, or, you know, done with phase one. Warcraft was ready for whatever expansion came out. And that was actually probably a pretty good entry point for people if they hadn't been there in those early days. But I remember I played the Friends and Family Alpha in 03, 02 even a little bit. And that stuff was jank. Like, I mean, it was cool. It was cool, and there were some really interesting things in there. Like, but the talent system, completely different than what we ended up with, which is all different now anyway. But the original talent system was bonkers different than what we ended up with at launch. And a lot of people really don't honestly remember no PvP at launch. Like, that seemed crazy at the time, because this was Warcraft, remember? This was Warcraft! Horde and Alliance, big armies, lots of dudes, RTS. And we were thinking, well, you got to have that. It's Warcraft. You got to do it. And when they didn't launch with it, people were pissed and there was a big freak out about it. So I don't know. It's fun that this has done the same thing to me. It's pushed me back to remember stuff and to dig back and look at the history of these things. And it's all good. And I'm glad Blizzard's doing it. I'd rather have them do it than some joker on a server I don't trust. So it's fine. We'll probably,
I would like, and whether it's successful or not, I'm not honestly that interested, because it's just something I want to tool around in, if nothing else, the kind of game historian in me just wants this to be a thing.
Yeah, I do too. So it's coming. With whether I'll play it very long, I don't know, but I will definitely get in there, check it out.
I really want to raid an original Nax.
Oh my lord. Can you imagine?
I've never done it. I raided the crap out of it in Lich King, but it's really hard. Never the original.
It's really hard. And it's a 40 man, so get ready. that's why those hallways are so wide. That's the thing that bugged me about it when it relaunched, when Nax showed up in Dragonspire. Or no, where the hell did that hover over?
It was in Dragonblight.
Dragonblight.
Why am I? Oh my god, I'm blanking on the name. Is it Dragonblight?
Dragonblight, I think. Right? Dragonblight. Now I'm getting nostalgic for that. I was, even when I went into that one, I was like, oh yeah, these hallways are like so stupid big, because it used to have 40 people. And yes, you can clip through each other, but you needed room to spread out. And, you know, like it was crazy. And then I was running that with like 10 people. It was like no big deal. And it was like huge, spacious rooms with nobody in them.
Yeah. And the textures were, it was funny because the textures didn't hold up, because we just finished leveling through actual the Lich King. The Northrend, all the zones, and they were beautiful for the time, all brand new, freshly painted textures. Then you get the next Rannis, and it's vanilla textures.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Plus, I never could get over the idea, and I know this was always true, but the idea that little ziggurat is like the size of a garage, and then you get into it, and it's the biggest thing ever.
That always bothered me, too.
It's just annoying.
I figured when they would bring it, you know, they're bringing it back for Lich King, they would have addressed that, but they didn't.
Yeah, they should have just made it massive. I'll bet they would today. things were different back then. Maybe today.
Oh, that would be so cool. Just blotting out the sky entirely.
Yeah, just a giant, like those flying pyramids from like the Stargate movie. Just like a big, out the sun, nightmarish looking freaking ship thing. That would
instead it's cool. It's freaking Doctor Who TARDIS technology.
Totally, dude. You get in, it's like a Harry Potter tent. You get in there and it's huge inside. Anyway, so that's the thing, and they're working on it, so watch for that. All right, now, last week we played a bit of this music. I'm going to play a little bit more here just for funsies. All right, so it's the new intro music, which is very reminiscent of the previous intro music. Anyway, the reason I'm playing this, and for some reason the quality on it is garbage. Why did it default to not 1080? Okay, there we go. So here you go, chat room. This is the new loading screen, the login screen. We have it. We know what it looks like. And turns out they are also feeling nostalgic at Blizzard and would like to invoke for you, if you will, Warcraft 3. If you go look at the Warcraft 3 starting menu, or the menu when you'd first get into the game, it is all, it's this. It's that axe. It's that sword. It's that shield with a bunch of arrows in it. This is obviously a lot more drawn out, and also it's a painting and not rendered the way it was in crappy polygon style in the old game. But if you go do a direct comparison, you will definitely see shadows of Warcraft 3 in the launcher. How do you, as someone who appreciates good graphic design and illustration, Garrett, how do you feel about them reaching all the way back to the heady days of 2003 to do this?
Yes, more of this. Just keep it the painting, just animate it a little more, make this the screen. Thank you.
It's cool, right? I dig it.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Warcraft 3 is where I got on board. Before Warcraft 3, the first Blizzard game I had played was StarCraft on the N64, which made me never play an RTS again until Warcraft 3, because it was so terrible.
Yeah.
And the Diablo 2 demo, because I didn't have my own computer until my late teen years.
Yeah.
So Warcraft 3 was where I got on board, and so I have a lot of nostalgia.
Yeah, you have feelings. I get it.
Yeah.
That's
I got big feels.
Is that Lordaeron back there? I think it is, right?
That's supposed I'm to not be? I don't have it up in front of me at the moment, so I can't tell you. Let me just I'm just going to go to
chat room. You drop can a link. Tell me, right? It's in the show notes there.
I saw a YouTube link and
yeah, that's the one. So chat room, that I think that's Lordaeron. Do you guys agree? And if you
Oh, that's totally Lordaeron.
Okay. And that makes sense, because this is all part of that, you know, that's where the big fight happens.
Yeah, because the first time we log in after the game launches, we're going to see that sweet-ass cinematic again. And we're all going to watch it. It doesn't matter how many times we've seen it, because it's amazing.
Yeah, it's
then,
great. Of course we are.
Gonna go here.
Of course we are. I'm not doing anything but that until I, you know, it's the first thing I'll do is watch that damn thing again. Why is the sky yellow? It's probably just sky, right? There's not something special about that. I'm not supposed to take something from why the sky is all yellow and make in a circle, right? In that image?
I would assume just stylistic I don't know. Anduin also kind of calls down a big beam of light.
Oh, it's possible. Could be reflective of that. Or maybe there's a big fire flame. This is where it fires out of and goes and burns down all of Teldrassil.
And I would get too heady and say that Warcraft, there's always a little bit of hope. There's always a little bit of hope in all of the violence in Warcraft. Yeah.
A little hope in Warcraft goes a long way. All right, so that's a cool thing. I'm really into that. If you would like to see what happens to your artifact weapon in World of Warcraft and would like to be spoiled, you can do it. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I did watch it. It's a quest chain that culminates in you getting rid of your artifact weapon. This is all part of the it'll hit when, you know, the game comes out. But it's on the PTR now. It is minus VO work. There's a bunch of stuff you got to talk to Magni about. And he's gesticulating in the video like he's talking to you, but there ain't no sound. So I think they're just not done. It's placeholder for now. You go through, I'll just say, a process to retire your artifact weapon. That's not a spoiler. That's a well-known. We knew that was coming. It was just what form would it be. And I'll let people find out for themselves. The video's up on YouTube if you want to see it. I don't care about spoilers so much unless they're, well, it depends on the kind of spoiler. This is, to me, is not a big deal. So it was no big deal for me to see it.
Yeah. I think this, in-game cinematic was actually leaked quite a while ago. It's just that now the quest line is actually playable.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't know the, the cinematic was out there. Maybe the VO. The
only you have is fresh. It's very new.
Oh, it is new. Okay, so they still don't have VO.
I feel like this. I've seen this a video very similar to this a while back. Yeah. But now you can play through it. It's cool.
Yeah,
I'm trying not to spoil it either. I don't know how to, what else to say without spoiling it. But it's pretty neat.
Yeah,
and I'm personally very ready to be done with my artifact.
Here's what we know for sure. It involves Magni Bronzebeard and your weapon. That's all I'll tell you.
He's there and he's gesticulating. I now want gesticulating a title in World of Warcraft.
He's just doing this. Like, he's got stuff to say. He's throwing his hands around, but nothing's coming out because he's a diamond man. All right. That's not a spoiler to say that, is it?
It would technically be one, but it's been years now.
It's old news.
A diamond man.
Yeah. He got diamond. Well done. He's in diamond tier now. Well done. All right. What else? Oh, they're overhauling PvP progression. Now, this we knew, but we've got details. Some of the more important ones are new ranks and what levels you need to be them. If you want to be a combatant, you'll need to be 1400 to 1599 ranked after however long you play. To be a challenger, 1600 to 1799. Then there's rival, 1800 to 2099. Duelist, 2100 to 2399. And if you want to be truly the best in the world, or of Warcraft, gladiator, 2400 plus. Boom!
Tell me you unlock an Are You Not Entertained emote.
I doubt it. I want you to, and everything you say is good, but I doubt it.
Yeah, this is cool, because it sounds like from what they explained here that this is going to be happening in real time. You're not going to be doing all of this PvP, and at the end of the season, they're going to calculate it, and then you get your title assigned. You're going to be able to see these numbers, again, sounds like from what they're saying here, progress in real time, more like every other Blizzard game we play,
where we
go up in rank.
Yeah, this idea that you got to wait till the end to see it. I mean, I know that's how it works with, like, in Hearthstone, you don't get your chest and your stuff and your whatever you may win that season if you until the end. But you at least know your progress, right? Like, you can see more about where you're going and how you're doing and what your current rank is and blah, blah, blah. I feel like this brings a bit of that to this, because you're still going to get rewards at the end. But you just have a better feel for progression during the real, you know, like you said, real-time progression knowledge, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they use the term bracket,
right,
you know, in referring to these. So if you replace this with silver, you know, gold, diamond, master, etc., kind of in the same wheelhouse as other games we play.
Yep, they've got participation rewards as well as, you know, skill rewards. That's good for me, because I'm really just a participation guy when it comes to PvP, because I'm terrible.
You love your participation trophy.
I do. It's very, it's like you, I was like when I was in my T-ball team when I was a kid, everybody got a trophy regardless of how you did. But anyway, that's the thing. And it's cool. This is a great post. Speaking of comments, the comments are nothing but positive here. People are stoked about the changes coming to PvP. So if you're into WoW PvP and you want to know about the new currency, or the returning currency, I should say, how gear is going to work now, all that kind of stuff, should be excited. And once again, Brian Holinka, former head of the PvP team at WoW, says that he thinks these changes are amazing. I don't know what we should put into that, but I like Brian and I trust his opinion. So there's that.
I haven't been heavily into WoW PvP basically since Heroes came out.
Yeah, same.
But this, I don't see anything I take issue with here. This all looks like positive changes. Also, can I get this adorable lizard that's shown under Participation Matters? Because he is a good, good boy, and I need him.
It doesn't say whether it doesn't make it clear whether he's a thing. I don't know if he's supposed to be the pet of that hunter standing there or not, or what the deal is, but maybe. You can get your own lizard.
I just want him. He's adorable.
Yeah. You know what stinks? Lizard pee. Have you ever had a real lizard? Dude.
No, but we recently had a snake in our house and it crapped all over the place.
Yeah, snakes, disgusting. Lizards, amphibians in general, they have this worst pee. It's horrible pee and poo, but really it's the pee that'll get you. So be careful if you got a lizard. Don't let him run free, like playing with him on the carpet or whatever, because he will pee and then he will ruin your millennium. It's so bad.
I love that this is where a possible pet in World of Warcraft's conversation went. I love it.
Well, you know, I'm here to help people be aware of these things so that they're not...
help people with their pee problem.
Exactly. All right. Just got a note for... Here's an update from Patrick. Here he is. He says, things aren't going well. Don't think I can make it. Sorry. That means the baby... He got like 3 hours of sleep last night. He's got a baby. We all knew that. He had the initial like, oh, the baby cries a lot. Okay, blah, blah. And then that passes. Now he's at growth spurt stage. And some kids... Why? They don't like that because it makes their bones hurt and like their little legs like ache because they're growing so fast or whatever. Or they get teething because they're starting to get teeth in. So he's just getting started. Woo!
They are growing bones at an alarming rate. It hurts.
It does hurt. It hurts me to think about it. Now, some kids just kind of chill through it because they got a higher tolerance to pain. But because Patrick's a French wimp, and why wouldn't he have a little weenie kid too? You know what I mean? Like, it just makes sense that hereditarily the kid... would also be a little weenie. That's all I'm trying to say.
That's so mean.
This is my relationship with Patrick. All right. Let's. Hey, Audible. Audible.com. I got to talk about Audible real quick. I don't know if you guys saw this. Christy Golden's book, Before the Storm, the World of Warcraft book, is in the New York Times top 10 bestseller list right now. That's awesome. Here's a sample of it.
Pieces of equipment clanking perilously against one another. I hate sand, he continued. I hate the sun. And oh boy, do I really, really hate bugs.
The voice of Anduin Rin, which is that's the dude. His name is Josh Keaton. He's in there. Anyway, that got me all excited to talk about Audible today because audiobooks are great for helping you be a better you. Did you know that? It's not all just about entertainment. You know, listening to WoW books. For our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Just go to audible.com/WoW or text WoW to 500-500 and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. Download a free title and start listening. It's really that easy. Listening is a better way to binge on the content that you love while doing things this summer. You out there jogging? You need to listen to a little Christy Golden business, is my thinking. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, which lets you fill your summer with more stories like that one. Oh, man. You know you're going to like that one, right? Get it. It's right now. It's on the top 10. It's in the top 10. New York Times bestsellers. Boom, right there. Audiobook, read by Anduin himself. Audible helps you listen to more books by letting you switch seamlessly between devices. Pick it up wherever you left off. So if it's on your phone, great. It's in your car, great. It's on your tablet or on your Amazon Echo or your Kindle, whatever. It's all there. So here's what I want you to do. Get a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial at audible.com/wow. Or you can text wow to 500-500. That's audible.com/wow. Or text wow to 500-500. All right. Speaking of what's going on around Blizzard that isn't World of Warcraft. Let's talk about Alterac Pass and Heroes for a minute. I think it's really cool. I've only done a couple of runs. My only complaint is it doesn't show up enough.
Yeah.
I've played like 20 games or 15 games, 18 games, something like that, and it's come up twice. So that bums me out. But it is...
I played about 15 this week. I played it once.
Yeah, so I don't know what that ratio is about. It's really weird because they've also limited the map pool, and it still doesn't seem to improve my chances of getting it. However, I really like it a lot. And especially the second time, because then I realized, you know, I kind of knew what I needed to do more the second time. I'd seen the videos, but you need to play these things. And it's got such a great Warcraft vibe. Those sounds it makes, like all that stuff. Psh, pure awesome. I love it. Anything you'd change? Anything you don't like? Do you like that the core is a dude now? You got a dude instead of a core.
I love that the dude is a, or the core is a dude, or the dude is a core, whatever. I love that. I think the objective is too strong.
Yeah.
I think the lane pushing cavalry, they're just a little too overtuned right now.
Well, they can tweak that. That can get better. Because we don't want we don't want another Braxis holdout where everything's snowballed all the time. So
It feels a little snowbally. Yeah. Because of Braxis, at least you can get a partial, but even then it's not as big of a... This one has... You can't get partial credit. Like, yeah. If you get 99% of the way there on the channeling and the other team wins, you get nothing.
Right.
So because of that, it's pretty damn strong. These they move so quick. And then Kyle brought up a good point on Into the Nexus that he thinks the versions of catapults, which are gnolls in this in this battleground, are too strong because the generals, so the core dudes, they get really hung up on the new catapults, and the catapults take, I think, 75% less damage from structures. So the generals aren't attacking the players, which are doing the most damage to the generals, and they're also not killing the catapults fast enough. So it's just the generals seem a little undertuned, and the objective cavalry seems a little overtuned. But overall, I love this map.
Yeah, just some tuning is all we need. A little tuning.
Yeah,
they'll get
there. Yeah, the fighting around the objective, the kill pits they become are so much fun. I love it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a great. Great new map after the relative fiasco that was Hanamura, which is still in rework mode. But it's very cool. Hearthstone, what's going on over there? Cards?
Nothing new. Nothing? Go play your Taverns of Time. It's still up and it's still really fun. Play Arena.
That's still up there then. I didn't know that.
It's going for at least another week, I think. I forget the exact date when it ends. But
I got distracted and I meant to play it and try it because I got they give you that free ticket. If you
should really play it. The cards that they added are rad.
Okay. I like rad cards.
Yeah. I believe over 20 new cards were added just for Arena.
I grew up in the 80s. I like all things that are rad. Overwatch is teasing something. I was hoping Patrick would be here because I know he's got some thoughts on this. But they are teasing with a new little video what appears to be possibly both things you would expect from a game like this. A new hero and a new map. But mostly new hero. And let's see. They're calling him... There's a name here. Hold on a second. Here we go. Overwatch posted a very short teaser video featuring a brick wall covered in graffiti. Painting of Lucio is clearly visible, and there appear to be conflicting messages about the robotic Omnic character such as Zenyatta. One piece of graffiti says no bots, while the other appears to be a poster advocating for equal rights for the robots. Okay, let's see. Fascinating something. Oh, the character they're talking about is the small monkey that's shown there. The character's name is Hammond. I don't know who this is. But it's one of the Horizon Lunar Colony apes that they worked on. So sort of relative to, what's his name, to Winston. I don't mean related, but like another monkey that was tested and made smart or whatever. So we don't know. But he may be a new hero, and they are not saying. So as usual, very tight-lipped and very teasy and whatever.
I hope it's Evil Winston with like a goatee.
Yeah, dude. Or what I wish this video was a poster that said, 100 Junkrats enter, one leaves. That's what I want. Get your Battle Royale on. Fortnite's eating all your lunches. Om nom nom nom. Get in there and compete, damn it, with this. I don't know how, but just do something. Anyway.
Yeah, there was an update to the Lunar Colony map, I believe, as well, that had like a specimen 8 samples showing up with little like monkey footprints and whatnot.
Ah.
I'll bet those are like, the kind of teases I love when they just add little random Easter eggs.
I do like that. Battlegrounds. Yeah. I'll bet you money. Here's my prediction. Specimen 8 will be this Hammond monkey or ape or whatever, but it'll be all gone wrong. It'll be like
Congo.
Yes, it'll be like Congo, or even take it out of the monkey example. Like what's a good example of this? There's like an Alien 4. There were those big containers full of.
Of Ripley's Gone Wrong.
Ripley's Gone Wrong, yeah. It was like all twisted and jacked up and stuff. So that's what's in there going to be. And it probably won't be like that, but it'll be like he's mad and angry and not a nice guy. Whereas Winston's like the nicest guy ever. So it'll be something like that. Anyway, if you're looking for more apes, boy, have I got good news for you. Also, Diablo 4 Season 14 is on, and the big thing around this one is double the goblin encounters. So every time you find a treasure goblin of some sort, doesn't matter what kind they are, they will double them, and that means if you run into those blue squishy ones that break up into smaller goblins, you will now get two of those, which means exponential tiny goblins come out of that scenario, and if you kill them all, you are making multiple trips back to town to sell stuff. It's going to be amazing. I like that they're doing that, but, you know, it's another season. If you're not into that, probably not into that, but I'm still playing quite a bit of Diablo 3. I'm mostly focused on just like an old school wizard and working through Paragon levels and hoping for a Diablo 4 announcement. That's really where I'm at. with that game.
That's, I think that's what it's going to take, because I'm now with Draenor flying unlocked, I am just on an alt frenzy in World of Warcraft, so I'm not going to play any Diablo anytime soon.
Yeah. That's good, though, that you're doing that. Like, right now, this is actually a really good tip. Here's a good tip, everybody, what Garrett is doing. You go unlock that stuff, suddenly Warcraft becomes way more interesting in this weird period between now and August. You got shit to do. Because you unlock flying and suddenly you can alt like a banana time, right? So yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I've always had these. I always kind of enjoy the quiet period right before an expansion, because I always get in, I set my own goals, and I just kind of tick off all these other boxes, because I just came off like a bit of a wild burnout. So now I'm like, sweet, I'm gonna dust. I just got my first tune ever up to Legion level.
So oh, very nice.
Very excited about that.
Very nice. I poked my head. I said this last week, but I poked my head into Guild Wars 2 for a minute. And there are things that game does I wish WoW would do. Some of the stuff WoW did pick up and start doing. A couple of ideas I think came from that. And some of the scaling stuff was there in that game at launch. But there are still, like, I would rather play. There are days where I go, man, I'd really like to play World of Warcraft. But the way that Guild Wars 2 plays, like, moment to moment, is kind of my favorite way an MMO plays moment to moment right now. And Warcraft feels like a game that hasn't changed that too much. It's just, you know, cooldowns. It's your action bars, you know. You don't really have a lot of mobility. You sort of just stand there and cast your thing. It's fine. I just kind of wish that stuff would, I don't know. This is wishing for wishing's sake. There's no reason they're ever going to do this, but I kind of wish that stuff would get more modern, but we'll see.
Guild Wars is still tab targeting, though, isn't it? Right? I haven't played Guild Wars 2 in a long time.
It is, but also if you just enter a space and there's a creature in your vicinity and you hit your attack button, you just auto attack them from range or whatever. But there's just a lot more mobility with it. Everything is, you can move while you do it, no matter what character you are. I like the just more action oriented focus of it. It's a pretty cool game. As MMOs go, it's probably still remains second for me behind World of Warcraft in terms of, you know, what's a good alternative MMO out there. I think ESO is really strong as well, and it sits right there behind that probably. Beyond that, I don't know how things are going with Star Wars or some of that other stuff. Have you checked in there lately? Because, you know, you and I were both big on that for a while, but
I haven't. I'm really itching. I haven't played a second MMO in a very long time. I don't think since the beta for ESO, and it didn't do anything for me. So yeah, for me, Tor is the second MMO. I just haven't played any other MMOs in a long time.
Yeah, the beta for ESO was rough. The actual game as it stands now is pretty strong. But anyway.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how that market. And they're all, apparently all of the games I just mentioned, including Star Wars The Old Republic, they're all making money. Like, they're all doing well in a world where no one thought anything but Warcraft. And that doesn't even count, like, Final Fantasy 14, that's still doing well, and they're a subscription based game and they're doing great. Like, there's room for others in this market, it turns out, but Warcraft continues to sort of make them all look small.
Yeah, they just had to evolve. Like, WoW had to change the least to be profitable,
right?
Whereas everyone else kind of had to,
they had to come up with new methods. And I mean, both Guild Wars 2 and ESO are the same model. You buy the game, you buy the expansions if you want them, but you play the game and you don't pay a monthly fee. There's stuff you could spend money on if you wanted to, but it's all cosmetic. It's like Path of Exile. It's like, you know, any of those. I think that's turned out pretty good for a lot of these companies, you know. Turns out cosmetics was a way bigger deal than people thought they were going to be. I go back in my head to the heady days of 2008 when everyone freaked out because Bethesda wants you to pay $3 for horse armor in Oblivion.
I saw you tweet about that the other day, and I hadn't thought about that since it happened.
Yeah.
And the stark contrast of that versus where we have ended up.
Yeah. All my kids do right now is pine for skins in Fortnite. That's all they want. And how do they get those? Battle passes and spending little like, everyone's doing it now. And it's permeated the gaming space in a way that maybe mobile pushed it further. I don't know. But the point is that we used to freak about that stuff, and now it's just like, no big deal.
It didn't work for me for the longest time. Yeah. I didn't get it. Yeah. And apparently all it took was for me to get really invested in a game that worked off of cosmetics, because with the Alterac and the Warcraft event in Heroes of the Storm right now, mm-hmm. I spent money, actual money, on skins for the first time in forever in that game.
So did I.
The last time was the Kel'Thuzad event, because it was Warcraft skins. I have to have all my Warcraft skins in Heroes of the Storm, and it's because I care about that game.
Yeah, and they look really good. This latest brand of stuff, the Horde and Alliance.
I bought the Johanna bundle just because that Warsong Commander skin is the illustration for that, which has been a Hearthstone card and I believe also a card in the TCG, is mm-hmm. one of my favorite Warcraft illustrations ever.
My favorite thing is that Junkrat skin. It's amazing.
It's so good.
Goblin
so
running a good. Junkrat mech, basically. So good. All right. Well, that's going to do it for that. How about some of this? Whoops, I lost my place. Hold on. There it is.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, time for Town Crier, where you email us your messages at theinstance@gmail.com, theinstance@gmail.com. You can also use the contact link on the website at theinstance.net. It's up to you. You can use whatever you want. Corey wrote in from Indiana and said, I had $1 million idea. So now we're about to put it out in the world and let someone else make the money, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Old Blizzard.
Says, instead of making Warcraft 4 another RTS, since the genre is sort of dying, turn Warcraft into a tactics game. It's proven that it's popular enough genre with games like Fire Emblem and XCOM, and it's something new they haven't done before. Thoughts? Thanks for all you guys do. Corey from Indiana. P.S. I mentioned this thought to a friend. He said, no, they should do that with Overwatch IP. I mean, yeah, whatever. Let's actually just pontificate for a moment about what we think that MMORTS thing they're working on for mobile might actually be. We don't know much else about it except it's being worked on at Blizzard. That's what I want it to be. I want this to be a turn-based, tactics-driven... Warcraft would be great. Overwatch would be great. Any of the IPs would be fine with me. StarCraft would be really cool, actually.
StarCraft is the one I would want.
Yeah. Actually, yes. That's what I'm going to say. I think StarCraft is your better thing for that. But make that game... I mean, yes, there's all the usual misgivings like, well, if it's mobile, it's going to be... Like, okay. Forget about that for a minute. Just remember, Blizzard's making a thing. They tend to make good things. In their free-to-play market, they do well. Hearthstone's proven they can do it. I wouldn't mind it being on desktop as well, and maybe they will. I don't know. But a tactics game set in the StarCraft universe... would be a dream come true. I would love, love, love that.
A mobile and Switch, please.
Yeah, mobile, Switch, and PC. Put it on the launcher or something. StarCraft Tactics. It's a simple name even. Tactical Overdrive, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Just make it.
I really find a Warcraft 4 extremely unlikely. I think if we're ever going to get any non-World of Warcraft, things can be set in timelines we've already been in, just with maybe characters we haven't spent a lot of time with or things that happened off screen.
Right. I agree. Sitting in the chat says RTS is coming back. I don't know where you're getting your info from, but traditional RTS is not. Not in a big way. Not AAA style. Like, you're seeing weird little indie efforts and things like that are kind of cool. But they're also all doing things very differently. Like, they're changing up the formula in a way that I'm not sure you could with Warcraft 4. So I don't know that it's viable for them from whatever. They'll sell a bunch of copies. There's no question. This is Blizzard and it would be a big deal. But is it big enough for what they would expect from themselves?
Right. That's where I would land on the RTS conversation, which is it's not dying. It's not dead. It's just it's become niche.
Right.
I would say it's niche in a way like, the same way like playing Warhammer, like tabletop Warhammer is niche. It's mm-hmm. not dead. It is just not to the level of something like Blizzard is used to or where Blizzard has ended up.
Right.
So I just like other folks are making RTSs right now. There's great RTSs you can go and play that are new. Oh. I just don't think we're going to see a new RTS from Blizzard possibly ever, which is weird.
It's weird to say it because it's so much of their DNA, but I agree. I don't think unless something drastic happens in the market, the time for them that revival already happened. It was called StarCraft II, Wings of Liberty, and it came out in 2010. and it did what it needed to do, but the long tail is just not there. Or the long tail, turns out, was in MOBAs. And yeah, you could say, well, look how important Warcraft 3 was to creating MOBAs. Absolutely. That thing started as a mod and is still played. And that's where you got Dota and everything else. So there's no doubt about its lineage. It's just as it stands right now, I just don't think that's a genre that is a big, huge mainstream one. There's room for 50 of these on Steam and they could all do great. I'm not saying that. But as a marquee title like Overwatch, Hearthstone, Warcraft, you know, Diablo level boom kind of thing, they're not doing that anymore.
I want a Civilization type game set in the StarCraft universe. Dude, that's what I want. I want big like tile based board game between planets StarCraft game.
Shut up. That's a great idea.
I would play the shit out of that.
That's what I really wanted. I wanted Civ. What was the name of that thing they did between 5 and 6?
Civ? Just Civ.
No, it was Civ something. It was set in space. It was basically like a spiritual successor to the Alpha Centauri game. Anyway, I can't remember the name of it. What was that called?
Oh, God. Beyond Earth?
Beyond. Civilization Beyond Earth? I think that might be it.
I think it was Beyond Earth.
They didn't.
I'm Googling it. It's Beyond Earth.
The problem with that game is it was basically Civilization with a new skin, but then a lot of stuff you can't relate to. Like, oh, there's blobulous horse buckets in the swamps of the Zebulon 10. Like, none of that is things you know. Whereas
it's
Civilization,
a little too generic.
Right. In Civilization, you're like, oh, there are horses and chariots at our gates. Well, we know what that means, right? So you relate to it in a way that makes it more epic. That just felt like generic space world. It was mediocre as a result. I agree with the chat on that. StarCraft, though, they have all they need to do something like this. And it keeps the turn-based that I want, right? So you're talking a turn-based strategy title in the vein of Civilization. That's close enough to a tactics game for me. I'm all in. Totally in. Let's do it.
Let me really micromanage my cities, though. Because all I ever wanted to do when I first started playing StarCraft is make the most perfect field of supply depots you've ever seen. And no one got time for that in an actual PvP game of StarCraft. So let me get into my city and really perfectly place everything.
What if, I got another one for you. City builders are popular still. People are into it. Like that city's... Was that anyway? That Steam one everyone loves.
Well, Jurassic World Evolution just came out, and I'm just sitting here shaking because I want it so bad, but I haven't had the time, so I haven't pulled the trigger on buying it.
I hear it's good. I hear it's real good.
Oh, reviews are fantastic.
It's awesome. It's a perfect world for that. Too bad the movie, this latest movie, you probably like it anyway because you like Jurassic Park, but.
Jurassic World is very unique in that it's the worst movie that I enjoy. It's a terrible movie. It's so bad.
I love that.
I don't know who wrote that script. Anyone could do a better job.
Yeah, but you still.
But
enjoy
I
it.
Still will put it on, pop some popcorn, and have fun.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's like the first Transformers for me. I'm like, could this be better? Yes. Am I entertained? Also, yes.
Yeah. There's a couple. It's hard to argue with that. That's Pacific Rim for a lot of people. Oh, someone said that in there. Yeah, Pacific Rim.
I will go to bat for Pacific Rim. I just think it's good, period.
Sure. Okay, City Skylines is the one I'm thinking. City Skylines from Paradox is really good city builder. What if you could do a StarCraft-based city builder where that's the whole idea? You are doing supply depots very carefully. You are managing how your layouts of your compounds and your cities go. Like, I would play that. It's one thing I always liked about Warcraft, or even like there were times where I'd play Age of Empires 2, and I would have one computer opponent put on the easiest level possible, and then I would crank my money up to the highest. What I was trying to do is create so much diversity for me versus the opponent that he would just leave me alone. And I could just build rad cities and cool walls and awesome towers everywhere and just make a city builder out of it.
Yeah, I'd do the same thing. I'd cheat in SimCity just so I could have ridiculous cities. I would cheat in The Sims just because I wanted to build giant, ridiculous houses.
Yeah, heck yeah, dude. Oh my gosh.
There's something in my brain. I just like building. And then I just too old when Minecraft came out because I downloaded it and an entire day went by and I was terrified and uninstalled it.
There you go. Yep.
Lost the whole day.
Someone, there's Bro Claw says, I'd love to see a 4X StarCraft Masters of Orion style. Yes, that'd be cool. I would Warcraft wise, I want a single player Skyrim level kind of experience.
Yeah, no, just a Warcraft RPG would be I'd be so into that.
That'd be amazing. I want a big epic Warcraft RPG that is not an MMO. Like, go the opposite direction Bethesda did. Bethesda makes these amazing Elder Scrolls games, and then they make an MMO about it. Just now you got your MMO, let's make a single player really cool epic thing. They're probably not going to do it. This isn't Blizzard's way, but I want one.
Oh my god, make it a little smaller so that maybe this is feasible, and like set it when orcs come to Azeroth and you can play. There's an alliance campaign, there's a horde campaign.
Yeah, man.
Let me pick a side. Even if there's not a lot of choices for races.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to play through an RPG on either side of that conflict.
These are great ideas. If you have your own ideas and you want to send them into the show, you can. theinstance@gmail.com. Yeah, that's right. That same old address we've had for, I don't know, 14 years or something. theinstance@gmail.com and theinstance.net, where you can send your comments as well. You can also leave comments on the show posts that we're putting there and everything else. I guess it's going to do it for the show. Good luck to Patrick and his breastfeeding or whatever he's doing. So listen, anyone in the chat room thinks I'm actually being mean to Patrick, you don't understand our relationship. This is how Patrick and I behave. It's fun. We have a good time. It's self-effacing and we goof around with each other and nobody means anything. So keep your emails for yourselves. Okay. Garrett, anything this week people should know about from your neck of the woods?
Oh, yeah, there's always a fresh episode of The Angry Chicken if you want to get up to date on Hearthstone. We talked a lot about Taverns of Time, about the recent esports events. We did a deep dive on the new Recruit Hunter deck, which if you have not tried it out, it is bananas. So go listen to the most recent episode of The Angry Chicken. And last night, we just did a fresh episode of Into the Nexus, where we talked a lot about Alterac Pass.
Very nice.
Check those out.
I love it. You can also find more shows like this at frogpants.com, everybody. And Angry Chicken's also on the mega feed. So that's another way to get it. If you're like, hey, I already get the mega feed. Well, sweet. You're already getting the Angry Chicken plus all this other great stuff.
That it is. And yeah. I kind of accidentally created an A-Move mega feed now. There's now an A-Move mega feed.
Oh, great. You get them all. Just have it. Get it all. Let's have redundant shows everywhere. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's great.
Well, if you get the Frog Pants mega feed and you get the A Move mega feed, you're covered.
Yeah. The only thing that really sucks is Stitcher, but we won't get into that today.
Oh,
I know. It's the devil's
anus. Once a month, I still get the, why aren't you on Stitcher? And I'm just like, because they're the worst service ever and you should use literally anything else.
Yeah. And there's 1,000 other better options. And even though I have shows up there and they quit updating them for some reason, I don't know why. I don't control it. I have to explain to everybody. I don't have any control over it. They're weird. They come out, they lift our content, they add ads to it and reduce the quality and then put it on their service without talking to anybody.
And so then the feed breaks over. Every other podcatcher you can use pulls directly from our feed that we manage, that we control. Stitcher downloads our MP3s, rehosts it so we don't even get the stats, sell their own ads, make it sound like crap, and then they break the feed for 6 months.
And they put them in late. They don't get them every day or the day that they're supposed to be up. You guys get them immediately from us. I don't know why people are using Stitcher. I think they're just fooled into thinking Stitcher's good at something. I don't understand
It's very slick. It's very well-designed UI. I get it. It's just easy if you're new to the kind of RSS feed game. Stitcher makes it really easy. They have a good product when it works. The problem is that when it breaks, the creators have nothing they can't fix it.
I can't do a thing about it. And I get these questions all the time. And they just stopped updating TMS probably because it's hard. It's a daily show. I'm already doing the work. So get it off your, find another player. Use Overcast, use Downcast, use Pocket Cast. Android, iOS, it doesn't matter. Everybody's got apps. They're all awesome. They're great desktop solutions. Like, it's all good. Don't need them.
Yeah. Yeah. They broke TAC for 6 months. And then towards the end of that, ITN broke for like a month. And then I was like, you know what? I just pulled everything off. So yeah, I'm not on Stitcher anymore.
Yeah. And I now have a canned response that I copy and paste and send people because I'm sick of it.
I've thought about putting up a page on Amove, like amove.tv/Stitcher that just explains why we're not on Stitcher.
It's such a weird thing. It's counterintuitive. It goes against the whole point of how podcasts work. So anyway, my rant is complete. Thank you all for listening. That's going to do it for us. Like I said earlier, theinstance.net is our website. You can find everything else you might need at frogpants.com. Follow Garrett on Twitter @GarrettArt. Follow me @ScottJohnson. not Patrick. And when Terpster's here, which has been rare lately, the _T. He'll be back. Don't worry, everybody. He'll be back. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.